Our thanks to Twist for their support of Does Not Compute. Twist was created to help teams communicate by cutting through the stress and disorganization of email and other group chat apps. Unlike messy group chat apps like Slack, Twist keeps team communication organized, on topic, and all in one place. The makers of the popular Todoist app built Twist as a new approach to team communication, allowing your team to easily refer back to any topic in its original context, even years later. Twist ditches read receipts, online indicators, and stressful unread counts, helping to promote mindful, asynchronous communication instead of immediate knee-jerk responses. It's also a great communication tool for remote teams. The creators of Twist, Doist, are fully remote themselves, with 62 people spread across 27 countries. Head over to twistapp.com to learn more about what makes Twist different from other team communication tools and how it can help your team communicate more effectively. Thanks again to the folks at Doist for their support of the show, and make sure to check out Twist today by visiting twistapp.com.
Still hot? Still sweating? Still miserable?
No. So we've actually stopped. We are in northern Indiana, of all places, right now. Just a little bit outside of Chicago. We've stopped for a bit primarily because of what's going on with Design Collective. Our big push to get to Nuxt.
Yeah.
And get this done and out there and live and finished. And it's just so much easier with something like this where we have a deadline and a bunch of intense, just kind of, you have to sit down and just focus for hours on end,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. It's just easier to be in one spot. So we're going to be here for about a week, I think. But side effect of that is that we have air conditioning, which is fantastic.
Oh, really? Is it because the air conditioner takes a lot of power and you can plug it in, or?
Yeah. So we can't really run the AC off of just our solar panels for a bunch of different reasons. There's some issues right now with our big inverter that would be able to run it, but mainly it's just too much. It's just too much draw on the batteries. At least to run for any length of time. But yeah, we're just plugged into shore power right now. So it's just going directly there, just like a real house.
I bet that's a nice feeling. It's been great here. I always feel bad when you message me and you're like, it's so hot here, and I'm putting a jacket. Usually it's uncanny, to use the word that you used on me yesterday. It's uncanny because whenever you message me, I'm hot. I'm usually putting on a sweatshirt or a jacket.
Yeah. We've talked about this a lot lately, but man, it's been on my mind a lot lately. I miss California weather.
Pretty nice.
But yeah, so we're here and I'm planted, and both of us have been making a ton of progress on the Nuxt stuff. We're actually getting the checklist is looking manageable now instead of horrifying.
What was funny is that I showed Mikhail a screenshot of the Trello board that we're using to organize this, and he was like, oh, that's a lot of stuff. And then the next day I showed it to him, he was like, what happened? Because it was like the to-do and the done column flipped. And it was like, as soon as we were both on it, you're fast anyway. And I don't want to say like you just did a bunch of low hanging fruit, but like, my God, as soon as you showed up, it was like done. And then suddenly we have 9 things left on the list, and most of them are very simple.
Yeah. This has been such a big haul, and it's been something that we've wanted to do for so long, and now it's finally happening. That's such a great feeling. I think both of us are on the same page now, though, where we really just want to actually be working in Nuxt. So the way we've been doing the switchover is that we're actually taking each individual page as it exists as an HTML EEX template inside Phoenix, and like copying that over to a pages directory, a view file in a pages directory in our JS portion of the app. And so it's the entire thing is being moved over to a basically Nuxt compatible format within Phoenix. And then once we're done, or as close to done as is reasonable, we're just going to be able to copy all that stuff directly over into the Nuxt project, and it will just work. You know how that is. For the most part,
it should just work in the same way that it works now, which isn't ideal, because obviously we're running towards Nuxt and not rolling our own infra for this or running our own kind of app organization. because you, if you play by a certain set of rules, you get things like server-side rendering for free. And we'll have to swap some of our, like, we'll swap how we're hydrating or getting the data first for each component. But once we do that, then we get all the goodness of server-side SPA, basically, which I'm really looking forward to. But it should work in the same way that it works now.
Right, right. And what's really nice is that because Nuxt is so, I don't know quite the right word here. Nuxt is very, it's just very easy to translate stuff between standard Vue and Nuxt. We'll be able to basically just take, for example, if we're loading something over AJAX in the mounted hook right now, we can just basically copy that code over to the async data hook, and then that's the SSR migration. That's all we have to do. It's literally the same code, just in a slightly different name.
Right. Instead of directly setting a data attribute, I think we just return a promise instead. Or return, actually, no, we just return that object. Instead of setting it, we return an object and we're good to go.
Oh, man, I'm excited. It's finally happening, Sean.
This has been something that I've been wanting. Like, I tried to do this over a year ago. Like, I tried. So, again, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, well, I have what I have, and it's stable-ish for now, but it's not going to be stable for long. So I was like, A, I rewrite this thing, or B, I pull out all the critical stuff, like pull out Vue stuff, because the code base that I received is already half Vue-based anyway. It was just loading once Rails had rendered out its stuff. So we kind of had the worst of both worlds, where we had to wait for Rails to render out the asset pipeline, compile all the HTML on each request, build the page, and then wait for the client to load in and parse the JavaScript and set itself up, which was slow. So I was like, okay, so I either rewrite this thing or I try to SPA it out because it's already half in Vue. So I started SPAing it out, and I just didn't have enough. There was just too much work to go around, and it was just me, because I was having to do support on the actual Rails app that we had, and that was difficult because there were a lot of bugs. There were lots of like small miscommunications, I think, that happened. So there were like things that were supposed to be working one way, but they worked another way. And so it was just too much. So I tried, and I actually think the repo is still in GitHub in our org. But I just kind of left it where it was. And so for me, this is like a dream being realized after a year. So obviously I decided to go and rewrite the app in Elixir, and that got us pretty far. You know, I was able to deal with influx of users. I was able to deal with influx of stores. I was able to deal with an influx of paying customers. I was able to deal with all that stuff without having to worry about, do I need to scale the server up? That was like something that was just removed. So I feel like in moving things to Elixir, I was able to just remove concerns that I had. So it freed me up to do other things, which down the line frees us up to do this.
Right. And so you had tried to do a switch over to a full single page app. And then also a couple months ago, I started on working on the same thing. And so we have another repository where it's, and so it's just, this has been such a long-term thing that we've needed to do. And I feel like now where this puts us is basically we finally have a really good foundation. We have a reasonable API that needs some refactoring, but it's pretty good. And it's very fast in Phoenix and Elixir. Mm-hmm. And then now we have this client that actually is set up not as kind of a half and half Frankenstein, where it's some server rendered stuff and some Vue stuff and just kind of a hodgepodge, a confusing hodgepodge. Now it's actually what it should have been really from the start, not from a technical perspective, how I would build out an app if I were building an app starting today.
I mean, really, we just separated the concerns, right? Because that was the whole reason I wanted to choose Elixir anyway, was for the performance benefits, but also for how clean I felt like it. Phoenix kind of empowers you. You don't even really need Phoenix to do what we're doing, to be honest. Phoenix really for us is just the whole serialization layer and the controller layer. Like, that's it. So as soon as we end up moving to GraphQL and Absinthe, like, that can pretty much go away. So really, I think the biggest thing that I really wanted was the organization, like how Elixir, I guess, it lets you organize an application and how Phoenix fits into that. So that's like, that came with, you know, the Phoenix 1.3 release. And even now I find some bits of code that were written before 1.3 came out, because that came out halfway between my rewrite project. So it's still surprising to me that I was able to finish it, because there was like a major release of the biggest tool for rebuilding our system. But I mean, really, like, that was my goal, was to like get to that organizational structure, get to that freedom, get to that that way of building things. And always for me, like, the front end side of things, have like, an afterthought isn't or the right word to use, but it was always just kind of coming along for the ride, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's amazing how many transitions this app has been through. It's like, what, 2 years old?
Yeah.
And it started out as just a standard Rails app, and then you split the Elixir stuff out, and during that whole time, you've been doing more view components,
mm-hmm.
and now we're splitting those view components out. It's crazy how many iterations it's been through already. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
It's like a series of ejections almost, right? Like a space shuttle launching, it just like dumps the heavy pieces. I feel like that's what we're kind of doing. So we dumped Rails.
Yeah, everything's gotten simpler each time, so that's a good sign, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't say that to hate on Rails at all. You know how I feel about technologies. Like, Rails is certainly viable, but compared to the Elixir app that we have, it was certainly heavier, and so we ejected that, and so now we're kind of separating concerns once again. And what's cool is that as we're kind of going out and building up these pages, I'm using an app called Paw to poke around the API, so that way I found that I was losing time in kind of like save, refresh, test kind of loops. And so what I started doing was not working on the view components until after the API was ready for them. And so I've been using Paw to work with the API. And so what's really cool, and I didn't even really think about this when I was starting to do it, but it's nice to have now, I can look at how the groups are set up. Like, the sidebar in Paw just shows you all your requests. And it's a really good holistic view of the API, what endpoints are available, what things you can do. And when I think about it, for as big as we think the app is, it's really not that large. I think what made it feel really big was the combination of API endpoints and also Phoenix rendered controllers that were controlling things as well. So removing half of that from the equation makes things feel very much lighter and simpler, turns out.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. With every single page that gets migrated over, the app just feels a little bit less daunting.
Right.
Because there's not like, oh, this piece of information is coming from a Phoenix view and this piece of information is coming from an API somewhere, and it's just all coming from an API.
Right.
Which is fantastic. Like, it just simplifies so many things in my mind. It's so much less to keep track of.
It's just a lot less to keep track of. And like I said, it's just like separating concerns. We're letting Elixir do what I think it does great, and that is handling the data efficiently in a nice manner, in a very organized manner. And we're letting Nuxt do what it does best in organizing the presentational side of things. So I really like the lack of structure on the back end side of things, and I really like the more structure for the front end side of things. So it's kind of like reversal, where Rails has a lot of structure. So we're like kind of flipping that, because besides Phoenix, how they say, all right, well, if you have a controller named this, you have to have a view named this, and a template would be named this, right? That's kind of like the only rules you have to play by for things to work. And that's because that's like the only magic that it does. It infers what a view might be based off of a controller name. But other than that, it's just kind of like, do whatever you want in your libdir, whatever you want to, like, however you want to structure your actual like internal visiting API for your Phoenix to use, you can do what you want. It made me really productive, I think. But it turns out that for building at the front end and organizing how people interact with that data, I kind of like a little bit more structure, which Nuxt is giving us.
Yeah, Nuxt gives you so much stuff that has been historically really difficult to do in single page apps for free. And I know there's also like Next in React land and all that, but Nuxt is what I'm familiar with. It's changed so much of how I look at single page apps. There's just so much less stuff to worry about now. I mean, even things like as basic as the initial loading flash you get on a lot of websites that have a single page app, where you'll just see kind of nothing, or maybe like a header and footer and then no content. Stuff like that even is finally solved in just such an easy way with Nuxt to async data. Like, all of that fetching, all of that preloading can be done on the server before it ever even gets to the client. And so the client initially gets a payload of HTML that makes sense and is usable right away. And it's just, it's so great to not have to worry about that anymore, not have to think about that anymore. It's just so many of these problems solved.
They get a real website instead of a shell, I think. That's like the big thing for me is no matter who lands on a page, they get a real website. They get real markup. They get real style sheets. They also get JavaScript, which boots up later, but they get a real website. So I feel like a lot of it is about developer ergonomics, but it just so happens that also with these nicer ergonomics that we're getting a better product out the other side at the same time, which is really cool. So for me, like things like Nuxt and Next and Ream and I don't even know. There's so many of them now. And then there's like the static ones like ViewPress and Gatsby. And they're all different ways of kind of doing the same thing in that they allow you to use the technology that you're comfortable with, whether it's React, whether it's Vue components. They allow you to build really robust systems and they allow you to test those robust systems. So whether you're using Jest or Mocha or whatever framework you're using, you can have a really robust system and the user on the other side, they just get a website.
Yep, it's just a website that feels a lot more and acts a lot more like an app.
Right.
It can be way more dynamic. You can do a lot of interesting stuff. And this is a big part of why we're doing this split. We're not just doing it. Like you said, the developer ergonomics are much better, but really there's so much more to it than that. We're going to be able to much easily ship these complex features like real-time stuff that we want to do now. That's suddenly the door is open there, and it's not only the door is open, it's completely wide open, and it's very easy to walk through. All of that stuff is just there and ready for us to take advantage of now.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Shrockwell because he was telling me last night. So him and I, he's done a lot for me in terms of teaching me Elixir, teaching me how to do things properly, teaching me just kind of best practices, and he's probably reviewed more Elixir code for me than anyone else has. I mean, maybe aside from you, but he's done more formal, like maybe you shouldn't do that, or this is a better way to approach it, or here's a gotcha that you're going to run into based off of what I'm doing. And so this whole time he's been working on this giant thing. And we had a talk a couple weeks ago and he was just kind of feeling down a little bit. He was like, I just want to get Elixir out there because I've been working on it for so long. And it's actually, you know, for the same reasons that it helped us, it's going to help his company. And I was like, just find the smallest thing you can rewrite and start there and deploy that. And so yesterday he was like, hey, by the way, this thing is going live and it's the first bit of Elixir in our system. And what's even cooler, like you reminded me of this because you're talking about WebSockets and real-time stuff. That's what he's kind of replacing. So he's replacing his Rails WebSocket stuff with basically an Elixir version, which is more performant, it's lighter. So yeah, shout out to him because he's launching that soon. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, I don't know, but soon.
That's so awesome. So what he basically still has a Rails-backed API out there in prod, but he's going to be adding an Elixir API next to it, like running simultaneously that will handle stuff that gets ported?
Right. Yeah, it's a microservice, I guess, if you want to call it that. But not to, I don't know if I want to share any trade secrets, but he's using his cloud provider of choice. He's got a load balancer that is kind of round robbing traffic to the new server and to the old server. And he's slowly pushing all the new traffic over to the Elixir service.
Oh, so the Elixir one is completely, it's like, it's supposedly compatible with the existing API. It completely replaces it already.
Right. It's kind of like when I first launched the Elixir app, I left the Rails one up for like a month just because I was paranoid. But they just both connected to the same database. I just made sure that the Rails dynos were turned off so there weren't any pooling issues. I mean, I'm not going to use up 120 connections or whatever were allotted, but you know, I just made sure that there weren't going to be any weird issues, and I just made sure that they could connect and use the same database. So there's some like config things with our Phoenix app where we don't use inserted at, for example, we use created at, so that way it plays nicely with how Rails created the DB in the first place. But yeah, that's what he's doing. They're just kind of like living side by side.
That's so cool. Well, congratulations, Shrockwell.
Yeah, but it feels like it just feels good. It feels like the past year, we've just been like cleaning, we've been adding things, certainly adding new features. And like we've, our main goal is kind of like shifted in what we're providing for the stores. So there's always forward progress, but it feels like as we're going, we've kind of always been cleaning things up, which makes me very, very happy, because it's interesting. I think like looking at the code base is like a time capsule kind of, because it's a very clear, like starting over from me not really knowing Elixir that much and me using like a Phoenix 1.2 and then swapping to Phoenix 1.3 and not really like fixing problems with the platform itself, just kind of like porting over bugs and all. But it's like looking at a time capsule, depending on how far, like I think you were in a certain controller when you were converting it to a Vue component and you're like, wow, this is different.
Yeah, there have been a few moments like that. It is very, very clear what is pre-Phoenix 1.3 code. Oh, I think it's really important. You brought up a good point about how you migrated the bad parts of the Rails code base over along with everything else. You didn't try to make it a perfect conversion. And I think that's why we've been able to make these kind of big rewrite leaps. First the one you did to Elixir, now the one we're doing to Nuxt and splitting all that stuff out. And we are still leaving issues in there. There are still things that I look at and I'm like, oh man, I really want to make this thing better. I really want to improve how this looks or how this works or whatever that is. And there are so many of those, but right now what we've been focusing on is just doing a one-to-one conversion.
Yeah.
Just getting what we have right now moved over to Nuxt, not making it any better, not improving anything, except in where we actually literally have to in order to move it. Just trying to get it a one-to-one port done. And then once we're there, we'll be able to move so much faster. And I think that's really important and in a big part of how these rewrites have been successful. Because it's always such a risky thing to rewrite something or make a big technology change like has been done multiple times with this app now.
Yeah. I think we might have the world record for just messaging to each other 1:1. When I start to like, hey, what about, and you're just like 1:1. Like, dang, you're right. Okay. And then, because I'm always like, hey, what about this? And you're like, that's great, but no, we should do 1:1. So what's even crazier is that like the API code's getting a lot simpler because I'm deleting just a bunch of actions out of controllers. So we have namespaces, right? So we have DK web is our web namespace that encapsulates controllers. It encapsulates serialization of data. There is zero business logic inside of the web directory. And what's happening is we had a namespace API and we have a namespace that is not API. And I'm able to basically, as I convert a page over to Vue, I just delete any of the actions, whether it's index, edit, create, delete, update, new, whatever. I just straight up delete everything we don't need. And so there's actually like no database hits besides some global stuff. It's just straight up render a page of HTML that has a single Vue component in it. And it makes that side of the stack just dead simple. But what's really cool I've noticed is that because of how things were set up before, so if we have like admin stores accounting, admin stores membership, admin store shipping, you would need an accounting controller, you need a shipping controller, you need a controller for every kind of slug you have there. And since all that stuff comes from the store endpoint, I can just delete those eventually because we don't need all, like there's less there's like less surface area. The application has become very much more narrow because all of these other endpoints that kind of have their own, logic isn't the right word, they kind of all have their own thing that they were in charge of doing, even though they all used business logic encapsulated inside of DK namespace. They're just shells now. And so all of the actual logic is just reusing the same controllers in the API namespace.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to being able to delete all those basically skeleton controllers and all the stuff from the router file. Oh man, that's gonna be such a great feeling. What a nice commit that is.
It's gonna be very nice. But it'll be cool because even like branching this out, so people will probably would think like how are you gonna launch this thing? Well, I have a plan. I have had a plan for over a year, maybe about a year now, on how to do it. But Yeah, I mean, like, it'll be really nice. It'll feel like turning over a new leaf in a sense. It'll be like, I don't know, it's weird to say that because a lot of the stuff we've been pushing for, some people might argue, like, oh, well, that's just nice for you. But really, I think it's important for the platform, it's important for the app, it's important for the customers, everything. But it'll feel like turning over a new leaf. It'll feel like Design Collective has a new lease on life almost, like it's like shedding its old skin.
Well, this is something that I kind of said a few times right when I started with Design Collective, is that we're really at the point right now where we had an MVP app that did the trick. It did what it needed to do, and that was make sure that we had a product that people actually wanted to use. And based on the store response, like we know that's absolutely true. Like, this is something that stores love using and is very, very helpful for them. And so now our real challenge is taking it from being an MVP product to being something that is a product that really is mature and stable and can be built out and iterated on for years to come, instead of having something where we struggle every single time we want to add a new feature or change how something works. And really, I think the switch to Elixir and the switch to Nuxt are the big parts of that, getting us to a stable, mature platform instead of an MVP. Just something that bare bones works versus something that is maintainable, I guess. Maintainable is what it really comes down to.
So a big thing for me was like thinking about Knife Foundation when I was working on that, because that was part of how we did it, was an API client split. And I wrote the whole front end in Vue version 1, and then I rewrote it in Vue version 2, and then I rewrote it in Nuxt. And each time it was just easier to maintain. And so when it came time for me to like hand over the keys to another shop that was kind of taking it over, I was like, all right, we're using Vue, we're using Nuxt. Read the docs. Let me know if you have any questions. They didn't have any questions. In fact, the lead dev working on the project, he's Ukrainian. He messaged me and he was like, "Hey, this is really easy, and we're gonna start using Vue a lot more." Because what's funny is previously they were, I think, mainly a React shop, and this was like the first Vue project they were taking on. And he was like, "This is very easy to understand, very easy for us to process, very easy for us to make changes to without breaking a bunch of stuff." He was like, "I like this a lot." That made me feel really good. And the server-side app was kind of like a mixture of, like, the API was a mixture. There was like a server Rails server rendered app, I guess, that used Vue as well. And even that, he was like, "This is, it's not terrible. It's like, we understand it, and we're able to like do things without a significant period of time for like sharing." Like me, I don't even think I walked them through the entire code base one time. I think they like read the Vue docs, they walked themselves through it, and they're like, "This is great," and they've been productive ever since.
That's amazing. Yeah, that was one of the big things that drew me to Vue, yeah, way back in the 1.x days, or even the pre-1 days, is just it immediately made sense. When you read the docs, it was really clear like what the benefit of Vue was, how it helped me, and how it actually worked, like how it all tied together. And that's just stayed the same, like over the years. I can't believe it's been, geez, I guess like almost 3 years now that I've been using Vue. That's kind of amazing. Goodness.
Since like point like one,
0.13 or something like that.
yeah, like 0.14, I thought.
Something right in there. Very, very early days. But it's amazing to me that it's stayed so clean and so clear and so concise. And it's still like you can just, without knowing anything about Vue, but knowing JavaScript, I feel as though if you go to their, I feel as though if you go to the Vue site, that it's the value proposition is still immediately clear. And that is something that has never been true for me with React stuff. I always struggle when I look at React stuff, because it always seems to me that there's an extra set of knowledge that you need to know, that there's an extra set of things that you need to know, in order for it all to make sense. There's like hidden knowledge, basically. And of course that's not necessarily a criticism of React or the React ecosystem, but it's something that I've found difficult, and one of the reasons that Vue is so appealing to me is just because it seems more obvious.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me, is it seems more obvious. There's less, I mean, obviously you have to like read the docs. It's kind of unfair for people to gripe about directives, like VIF, VLs, like, oh, I have to learn DSL. Like, okay, you have to memorize 10 words. And then that's it. If you want to use Vuex, it's a little bit different, but still it's not as complicated as it could be, for sure. And what's funny is that I haven't had to learn anything new really since 0.14. I mean, like between version 1 and version 2, there was kind of the, API change, you know, some things changed, and like, there used to be like a broadcast and dispatch for sending events, which is gone. But I really haven't, like, in terms of like actually building stuff with Vue, nothing has changed since it started. It's all exactly the same. And going back and working on things that were Vue version 1, I was able to be productive. There was no paradigm shift. There was no, oh, we did things this way back then. It just was Vue. It was just single file Vue components, and it worked well. And I think that was like, I think a testament to that is, or something tangible for that is those people saying, I mean, Knight was a pretty big app, and for them to be like, we're got it, we're good, and they're actually closing issues like the second day. They had me like actually review every pull request they were sending through, but they were actually closing issues the second day from getting a code base and getting access to that stuff. So which was pretty amazing. And speaking of like,
and again, this is a company who weren't doing any new stuff before this. This is all a new ecosystem, right?
This is their first project, yeah. He asked me why I picked Vue, and I told him why. He was like, fair enough. And that was like, it was a very short conversation. And they had like a few other like infrastructure questions or like API design questions on the Rails side, but like they had zero questions for Vue. He was like, no, we get it. We're good. And they're still rolling. They're still making changes. And Knight was the first site, like Knight is way more traffic than Design Collective does. And that was the first thing I ever launched Nux on. And it was a piece of cake. It's easy. So I'm not anticipating anything wild here. In fact, I anticipate things get easier because the back end side of things, like suddenly we don't need Node anymore. We, you know, our tooling chain gets cut in half for what the API server actually needs to have access to or what kind of dependencies it has. So I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. We've talked about thinking about Docker, thinking about Kubernetes, thinking about, do we just throw it on EC2? Do we just throw it, you know, like, how do we do this? And really, like, the only reason why we're moving away from Heroku is because networking isn't possible. With networking between nodes isn't possible. Each node is firewalled off, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's like the only reason why we're moving away. But even that, it becomes simpler because half of the app is now moving somewhere else.
Yeah, at the very least, our API deploy times will get a lot shorter because it won't be doing all of the building of the JavaScript.
I think the thing that takes the longest right now is actually Webpack compiling. If I'm looking at the Heroku logs,
it wouldn't surprise me.
It takes a while. But there's a great many things like bundle splitting, like better bundle splitting, lazy loading some components, splitting out component, like splitting bundles into like the store admin side, the control panel side for DK admins, and the customer facing side, because a certain group of users won't need one or two of the bundles, right? They only need either the customer side or customer in the store side. So, you know, there's ways that we can make our bundles much, much smaller, which I'm looking very much forward to.
Well, hopefully by this time next week when we record, I think at least we should be writing code in Nuxt instead of in Vue components in Phoenix.
If we're not, we did something wrong. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah,
much.
Definitely. We're getting very close.
Yeah. I mean, what makes you feel even better about it is I just got a message from Mikey, one of our coworkers, and she said she just created a new flash files for a store, and she's like, she can tell a night and day difference. She was like, it's so easy to create sales now. She was like, thank you so much for doing that. I was like, all I did was just turn it into a Vue component and make it use Ajax. So there's no like page refresher. That's all I did. I didn't do much.
Yep.
But it's cool that's what makes it worth it to me. If she's noticing it, other people are noticing it as well. And they're like, oh, this is getting better. That was the whole point. So if anything, it was worth it.
Well, let's go knock out these last couple pages.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
I'll talk to you. See ya.
This episode of Does Not Compute was sponsored by Twist. Twist helps teams cut through the distractions and disorganization of other group chat apps, keeping team communication organized. It promotes thoughtful, asynchronous communication instead of knee-jerk responses. By keeping conversations organized and on topic, Twist makes it simple to refer back to previous conversations, even years later. To learn more about how Twist can help streamline your team communication, visit twistapp.com today. So we don't normally break the fourth wall, other than to talk a little bit about show notes. We have a small announcement to make, though. I am leaving Does Not Compute as of 3 episodes from now, including the one you're listening to. So that's very subject to an off by one error. To be clear, this is 3 episodes total, including the one you are listening to right now, and then you will be rid of me forever. I'm leaving the show. It's been, what, two and a half years or so? It's been quite a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, quite a while.
This was something that we originally did on a lark 3 companies ago for me, and I guess 1 company ago for you.
One company ago. Yeah, you're right. 1 company.
That's weird. And it kind of took off a little bit more than either of us, I think, were expecting. And now is just the time for me to leave. Obviously, Sean and I are going to keep working together at Design Collective. But this is the end, or very near the end, of the podcast for me. Now, Sean, you are not leaving the show.
Correct. So we're, you know, I've been talking to some people and, you know, looking around for possibly another co-host and somebody that I, you know, maybe want to talk to for another 100 and some episodes. I don't know. I'm not really sure what it looks like, to be honest, you know. But I think for the time being, you know, I think I would like to continue on and just kind of seeing what happens. It's kind of like an open door right now. But yeah, like you said, it's been a long time. And it kind of just started one day, if that makes sense. It wasn't like a huge grind. It just kind of started off one day. And 120 some episodes later, it's kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, I mean, I think that it could be good. You know, we'll just see what happens.
So anyway, hopefully you enjoy and or enjoyed this episode, because again, I don't know where this is going to go at the beginning or the end, but yeah, that's kind of it for me. I have 3 more episodes. I hope you enjoyed my voice, or didn't enjoy my voice, or enjoyed the absence of my voice. And that's kind of where we're at. So good night.